Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At Life Hacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. What's up, LA Hackers? This is your host, Stefan, and welcome to the Life Hacks LA podcast, where we hack the very best of Los Angeles and Southern California. You know, it's one of LA's favorite months as I'm speaking right now. That's right, it's the month of October. We don't have a traditional fall in Los Angeles, but we do have a lot to do. I mean, we've got Oktoberfest, we have the Mexican holiday Day of the Dead, and of course, we have everyone's favorite Halloween. Now, people in LA and Southern California absolutely love Halloween. So today's guest I have wanted to interview for a while, but the timing is now perfect with Halloween coming up, because in this interview, we will be talking to Joe from Weird California. Now, Joe, along with his daughter, cover a lot of the weird stuff you can find in our state, from quirky roadside attractions and bizarre outdoor art installations. But one of my favorite categories they cover is the bizarre, the strange, the spooky, and the hauntingly weird stories and things you can find right here in Los Angeles and across California. So Joe is gonna talk about all this weirdness they cover in California, including just in time for Halloween, his favorite haunted places and local ghost stories. So if you love Halloween and you love weird stuff, you're gonna enjoy this conversation with Joe from Weird California. And make sure you come back at the end where I'll have my own little weird special LA hack for you. All right, guys, talk to you again soon. Hey, what's up, LA Hackers? Please welcome our guest today, Joe from Weird California. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you. I've been following your website for a while, so this is really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Joe? Where are you from originally? How did you come to Cali, and where do you live now?
Well, my name is Joe Parzanes. I'm originally from New Jersey, and I ended up moving out to California sometime in the 90s. My family was in New Jersey. Unfortunately, there was a recession in the late 80s, early 90s. My dad lost his job, found a new job out in California, and moved the entire family out here. It was definitely a culture change, and it was definitely different, and I'm still here. My family has since migrated to Vegas now, so I'm the only one left out here.
Oh, okay.
I'm currently up in San Luis Obispo, which is probably about 4 hours away from where you guys are down in LA. It also means that I'm like 4 hours away from like San Francisco and like probably about 4 hours away from like Death Valley, things like that.
Yeah, so that's a beautiful town. We went to Pismo Beach last year.
Yes.
And then we decided to go up to San Luis Obispo because we hadn't been. And man, we just that downtown area is so vibrant and full of energy.
Actually, the downtown area has a few cool little things too, like Bubblegum Alley. You know, there's a couple of cool little candy shops. Madonna Inn's here. There's a few little weird things here.
Yeah, we got a chance to see both of those, the Madonna Inn and the Bubblegum Alley. So definitely some cool stuff over there. Okay, Joe, you own a website and a brand called Weird California. Like I said, I've been following that for quite some time. But can you give our audience an overview of what it is and how it started?
So Weird California is a website that tracks all of the weird and unusual things in California, or as much of it as I can find and get on the website. It's broken down into a variety of categories. So we have one of the more bigger categories and one of the more popular categories is obviously hauntings. And since we're in October, that's pretty pertinent. Mm-hmm. It also has things like monsters, roadside attractions, just general weirdness, forgotten locales. So like things that are like now abandoned or have been forgotten in history. It does have some strange history. It has some weird California legends. There's a few missing treasures, lost gold and things like that. A little of everything. We're adding a few other things to it now. So now, like recently, I'm adding like more trip-oriented type articles. So there's an article that was put up sometime last year that discusses traveling from Barstow to Vegas and like all of the weird and fun roadside attractions that you can run across while you drive down 15 to Vegas. And we're working on a few other areas like that. It's like Route 1 is going to be one of them. Route 66 is going to be one of them eventually. So things like that.
Yeah, that's very cool. Like you said, you've got a lot of weird categories, a lot of categories, but all of them are weird. But let's get back to the roadside attractions, because I don't know if it's just because of the Southern California car culture and how a lot of that started here. But it's such a great state to take road trips because
One of the reasons is because of these amazing roadside attractions that you mentioned. Can you tell us a few of your favorite ones?
Before I say my favorite ones, since it is October and since we're talking about LA, I should mention, obviously, there's the Pumpkin Rock out in Norco. You know, it is the season to take a short little hike up to the Pumpkin Rock, which is this giant boulder all done up like a orange pumpkin. I believe you've heard of it. I've seen it featured on your site.
Yeah, it's very popular.
Very popular, especially right now. I mean, the hike's pretty easy. My daughter can do it. So, and then the Witch's House over there in Beverly Hills area, that's also very popular right now. I see a lot of people posting on Instagram when they dress up as witches and go take pictures in front of it.
Yeah.
And it's a really charming little cottage. And then right now, the Cabazon dinosaurs are embracing the season. I saw that the Brontosaurus is dressed up like a pumpkin, and the T-Rex is done up like a Super Rex, I guess, with a Superman suit. As far as my favorites in the LA area, probably I love the Muffler Men. Familiar with the Muffler Men at all?
I don't think so. No. So
these are the statues that are men about 18 to 22 feet tall. They were built back in the 60s and 70s. From 1962 to about 1975, they were built. There's several in the LA area. The most famous one is probably Chicken Boy.
Okay. I know Chicken Boy. Yeah, in Highland
Chicken
Park,
Chicken Boy is a modified Muffler Man. They took a Muffler Man, they chopped off its head, and they put a chicken head on it.
I didn't know the history of that. That's cool.
And they shoved a bucket in it. There's, you know, supposed to be look like a bucket of chicken. He's apparently the Statue of Liberty of LA. Other fun ones there, there's Tony, Sergio, there's El Salsero in Malibu. He's the one who stands over an old, now closed Mexican place. And he's got like, you know, he's all done up with like a platter of Mexican food and things like that. What's funny is Tony and El Salsero were actually taken by Dennis Hopper. He made some molds off of them and made his own Muffler Man, which are now on display in the town where he was born. Van Nuys also has a Muffler Man. Carson has the Porsche Man. You've probably seen him on 405 when you're driving down there.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
And then Compton's got one. And then if you want to drive further, Escondido, Joshua Tree, and Ventura all nearby have some Muffler Men too. There's probably about, I don't know, at least 20 plus in the state now. There's not too many of them lying around, but California definitely has quite a few of them. There's a guy in Hayward who collects them. So he's got them all on display. He's probably got like six now, I think.
So what you're saying is that these all used to be the Michelin Man, and then they just repurposed them to these different things like the chicken and all that?
Yep. A lot of them have been repurposed. Originally, they were bought for like signage. Basically, they would attract people because, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, we didn't have freeways the same way. We didn't quite have air conditioning in cars, things like that. So people would pull over more. So if you saw a fun roadside attraction, like a giant 20-foot tall man, often holding a muffler, you'd pull on over and take a look. They came in a variety of sizes. There was a cowboy one. There was a guy holding the muffler. There was a Native American. There's a couple of mutants. So like Chicken Boys was called a mutant now, but there was ones that were actually developed back then that were kind of mutant-like. There's one that looks like the mad guy, the mad magazine guy with the hat, right?
Alfred E. Newman.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's cool to know the history behind that, to learn the history behind those, because I've kind of wondered about it. I didn't realize they're all related. I thought they were just separate structures, you know?
They were made right down there in Venice. International Fiberglass was a company there, and that's why there's so many in LA, because the company was there. So they obviously advertised there a lot more than in other parts of the country. The first one was sent to Arizona, Flagstaff, but you can find them all throughout the country and in Canada. Again, they're disappearing. You know, it's hard to maintain them. They got to be painted. The elements kind of take their toll on them. So we're losing some here and there, but people are trying to restore them and refurbish them. And they are just gigantic and amazing and impressive. There's a few new ones that keep popping up. Like Route 66 just got a new one somewhere back east, so, which is nice. But yeah, they all came from Venice originally.
Yeah, that's really cool to know the history about that. So Joe, like you said, we're doing this interview just a few weeks before Halloween. Halloween is super popular in California and especially in Los Angeles. So I wanted to ask you about haunted places in LA. What are some good stories about haunted places in Los Angeles?
Well, I mean, the biggest one there is obviously the Queen Mary, which is sadly closed right now. Queen Mary has like over 150 ghosts. Several of the areas of it are haunted. If it ever reopens again, I hope it's restored nicely. When I was last there, it was not in good condition, which was a shame with how much they charged for it. Apparently, the people who ran it did not do a good job of running it. So the company that was hired by Long Beach to manage the boat did not do a great job of maintaining it or keeping it up to date. I mean, I literally got on an elevator and it had, you know, buttons with the letters for the decks on it. And one of the letters had fallen off and they had taken a Sharpie and just written the letter on there.
Wow.
But it's horribly haunted. Variety of different ghost stories there. But unfortunately, you can't visit it. So I guess for something that you can visit, if you like hiking, Griffith Park is supposed to be horribly haunted as well. It has a horrible curse attached to it, dealing with someone who used to own it. And apparently someone came along, and while the guy was on his deathbed, this is back in the 1800s, he showed up with a lawyer and had him change the will. And the story says they actually literally put a stick behind his head, made him nod his head in front of the lawyer, in front of witnesses and things like that.
Oh, my God.
And they signed it away from the person's niece, who, according to the wonderful stories, was apparently this blind, like, child who had the land stolen from her. Now, the reality is this is more like tabloid stories. She was probably not blind, but she supposedly laid a curse down on everyone who was involved, and they all died horribly after that. She apparently dropped dead after her curse just to make it stick. That's also not true. She lived at least 30 years more. But this guy, Horace Bell, wrote the story in like the 1900s and made it sound much more sensational than it really was. But a lot of people have attached to it have supposedly died. You know, it's very similar to like King Tut's curse, right?
Yeah.
Regardless, there are a lot of ghosts that have been seen there. In addition to the original owner, who apparently rides his horse around the park, the blind niece, she apparently runs around on a white horse and can be seen inside, I think, one of the park ranger stations every now and then. The land eventually passed to Griffith J. Griffith. Yes, his first and last name are the same. I guess his parents were not very original when it came to naming. He's buried in Hollywood Forever Cemetery, but he apparently also haunts the place. He's an interesting character. He ended up with the land, tried to set up an ostrich farm on it with a business partner, apparently ran across the ghost of the original owner, decided that he was never going to step foot on there again at night, eventually got into a fight with the owner of the ostrich farm and foreclosed on him, who then tried to kill him, and a whole bunch of other stuff happened. I guess Griffith J. Griffith thought his wife was conspiring with the Pope, the Catholic Pope, to poison him. So he eventually shot his wife, but she got away by jumping out the hotel window and landing on an awning. And he went to jail for a couple of years, but not long. And eventually, just to get rid of all the cursed property, he donated to the city of L.A.
Man,
he wanted an observatory built on it. And he left some money. And now we have this wonderful park. And there are, you know, besides those other hauntings I said, there's also like a ghost in the merry-go-round. There's a ghost girl that apparently has been seen throughout the park. They believe she died of exposure, and she now wanders around looking for help. The haunted Hollywood sign is technically on Griffith Park, and it's haunted by Peg Entwistle, who jumped off of it in 1932 because of her failed acting career at the time, despite the fact that she had an offer letter literally in the mail that she hadn't opened. And then there's also urban legends claiming that there's some sort of strange, weird monster that can bend itself in strange ways that stalks the park at night. And lastly, there's a wonderful urban legend about a haunted picnic table that's crushed by a tree. Supposedly, two lovers were on the park picnic bench at night. A tree fell on them, and I guess they now haunt it horribly.
Man, that's so crazy that such a beautiful park and such a part of our city has all that crazy history. And as beautiful as it is, I wouldn't walk around there at night. I mean, it is kind of creepy, especially over there by the old LA Zoo and stuff.
The LA Zoo is great. It supposedly has some like minor hauntings too, but no one's actually come up with any confirmed like stories about it.
But it's pretty.
You know, if the Batcave's open again, is the Batcave open?
I don't know right at this moment. I didn't even know that it was closed.
I saw some pictures of a bunch of like caution tape in front of it. So I don't know if it's unstable or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure about that. But it's pretty eerie just walking around in that old LA zoo, you know, through the cages and stuff. Because the zoos back then, as much as people complain about them now, I mean, they were very barbaric back then.
It was a different time.
Yeah, it's very eerie. And you know, I've only been there during the day. I can imagine what it's like at night.
I like what they've done with the ones which were more open. They turned them into like picnic areas. They have picnic tables in them and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, Joe, those are awesome stories about Griffith Park. I didn't know all of that. That's pretty awesome. But let's expand that question into other places in Southern California, because, you know, you travel all over SoCal. What are some other creepy or haunted places that you recommend we can take a road trip from LA to go visit?
Well, if you want to drive down to Lake Elsinore actually has quite a bit of weirdness there. The most obvious one is the sea serpent or lake monster named Elsie that apparently hangs out in the lake. I don't know how the sea serpent or lake monster has survived so long, because apparently the lake was apparently dry at one point decades ago, but there's apparently a sea serpent that hangs out in there and they call her Elsie. In darker notes, there's a Ortega Highway next to Lake Elsinore. It's up in the hills that overlooks the lake. And at least three different serial killers have dumped victims there.
So,
and of course, haunted, weird roads like that, you'll find this is very common in urban legends. They acquire all sorts of fantastical, spooky urban legend stories about it, mostly because high school students hang out there and drink, right? So this story, not only does it have the victims of the serial killers haunting it, it also has apparently a headless, handless corpse of a woman, a terrifying clown, strange skeletal things that climb up the poles that are out there, crazed gnomes that will come out your cars, and even the Green Reaper has supposedly been seen on the road.
So, oh my God.
Sounds like a haunted house.
Yeah. And there's other roads like that throughout California. Other cool ones, though, in Lake Elsinore is the Chimes Building. The Chimes Building has two ghost children who haunt it. One was the mayor's son, who sadly snuck in after hours and drowned in the pools. It was a bathhouse back in the day. Another was a poor girl who, in the late 1800s, was run over by horse and carriage. And at the time, the doctor worked out of the building, so they dragged her inside to help hopefully save her, but they were unable to. So apparently the two kids can be found playing in the Chimes Building quite often. And they're, I guess the girl collects dolls, and the two of them will laugh. We usually hear creepy children laughing throughout the building every now and then. Although my favorite Lake Elsinore story is the phantom train whistle. The train has not come through town in a very long time, and the tracks have literally been torn up. But often sometime around midnight, maybe 11 p.m., maybe 1 a.m., I guess it doesn't follow daylight savings time, the train whistle will be heard by people. And it's common and happens often. And multiple people have reported hearing the train whistle. Wow. When I posted it on my website, I've gotten hordes of comments about people talking about hearing the phantom train whistles. So apparently the train is still arriving often in Lake Elsinore.
That's crazy, man. Who knew? Lake Elsinore is a place to go to get creeped out. I'm going to have to go check it out.
Apparently, it's not a very big town either.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, Joe, another cool thing that you do on your website or that you cover with Weird California is something I'm really into, and that's programmatic architecture. And if the audience isn't sure what that means, it's basically when a building is designed for what it serves. For example, the donut hole in La Puente is literally a giant donut. The Idle Hour in North Hollywood is a giant barrel. And Tale of the Pup hot dog stand is an actual giant hot dog shaped like one. So what are some of your favorites? And they can be in LA or anywhere in Southern California.
Okay, well, the donuts are definitely one of my daughter's favorites. So she loved the donut hole. She still remembers the donut hole to this day. She remembers exactly what donut she got. A cool donut with blue icing with a rainbow that went over the hole. So there are, how many donuts down there? There are, I think, at least, counting the donut hole, which has two, there's at least 11 donuts. So if you count the donut hole as two, there's 9 more locations of donuts. 5 are former big donut drive-in ones. And those are the big ones, like Randy's, that you've seen in Iron Man.
Yeah.
Technically, one of them has been repurposed into a bagel, so it's not really a donut anymore. And then there's 4 slightly smaller donuts that are on the Angel Food donut shops. And they're all, these are all in Long Beach area, pretty much. One of the Angel Food ones is a Dunkin' Donuts now one. That's been redone because they tried to tear it down. Everyone did an outcry, and they put it back up, and it's really pretty now. So the donuts are definitely a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. My daughter really loves the Wigwam Motel, Route 66 out in Rialto area. Mm. She wanted us to stay there like a week, and I'm like, no, we only need to stay one day. It's fine. But she had a great time swimming in their pool, staying in the Wigwam. She enjoyed the fact that the McDonald's Museum was around the corner. The Idle Hour Cafe, I actually do need to see. I haven't really seen it. I've driven by it, but they're 21 and over, so my daughter and I didn't try to go in. I love the fact that it has the Bulldog Cafe inside it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I believe that's the original replica that was done for the Rocketeer movie.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
So what's funny is that was actually in the Pearson Automotive Museum until, I think, like 2014 or so. And the Peterson Automotive Museum is also a bit of programmatic architecture itself, as the front of the museum is designed to look like the grill of a car. Some of my other favorite ones are sadly long gone. So, like, I've never seen them. I've only seen pictures. But, like, back in the 20s and 30s, you had some really awesome ones. That was, like, the heyday of the programmatic architecture movement in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And you had such great things like the Zepp Diner. The Zepp Diner was built, I think, in 1930 or so. And it was literally in the shape of a Zeppelin. And apparently its signature burger was the Hinden Burger. There was also the Toad Inn, which looked like a frog. It was like a fast food stand kind of type thing. And it had the shape of a toad. It was called the Toad Inn. And the pictures I've seen of it looked really cool. One of my other ones that are favorites, just that the idea of it, was the Hoot Hoot ice cream. It was in the shape of an owl. And the store sold ice cream and other refreshments. And apparently the head would rotate like a real owl. And the eyes were made out of like Buick headlamps. And apparently they would blink and they glowed at night. So, yeah, they had a lot of fun with some of this stuff.
Yeah, so awesome.
Some were really weird, though, like Sphinx Realty. I don't know what a giant Sphinx head has to do with selling real estate, but sure.
Yeah, it's really cool how they've like refurbished. I don't know if the right word is refurbished, but like try to keep the original spirit of it. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Bobby Green from the 1933 group, but he did Highland Park Bowl. He did Eidelauer, Tale of the Pup. He was actually a guest on the podcast, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, he's part of that group that's been doing, like, didn't they do like a Bigfoot Lodge too?
Bigfoot Lodge. Yeah, I had him on as a guest before. And, you know, he's just really into finding like LA historical places like that and trying to keep the spirit of it. The latest one he just did is the Tale of the Pup hot dog stand in West Hollywood.
Is he affiliated with that place that was actually storing the Tale of the Pup for a while? Reset it back up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think
what's that place called? It's got all the old signs and
are you talking about the Valley Relics Museum?
Yeah, Valley Relics. That's what
it is. Yeah, that's a different guy, but I think they know each other. So, but yeah, I had him on the podcast too. He's a really interesting person. Yeah. So if you're into like programmatic architecture, those are two really good sources is Bobby Green for the 1933 group. And then his name's escaping me right now, but the guy from Valley Relics Museum.
I need to stop at Valley Relics.
Oh, yeah.
Giant Tiffany sign that my daughter's going to love, right?
Yeah, that's a must. All right. So let's get back into some more weird categories. Another really cool thing that, I mean, I don't know if they have this in other states, but it seems to be all over California. And that's these outdoor sculptures and exhibits like Bunny Henge in the Orange County, Desert Christ Park in the Yucca Valley. And there's so many of them. But can you talk about a few of your favorite weird sculptures or outdoor art exhibits that you've seen in California?
Yeah, so first, some states do have other ones. Like you'll find a bunch on Route 66, like Car Henge and things like that. Bunny Henge and Desert Christ Park are definitely awesome ones. I love the fact that you can pose with Jesus at Desert Christ Park. My favorite probably down in Southern California is probably Elmer's Bottle Tree Ranch out of Route 66. Elmer long built, and sadly he passed away a few years back, but he built a whole bunch of trees out of old bottles. And the thing is just amazing. And it's amazing how many bottles he has there, all these other old signs. And the train goes by every now and then. A little closer to you guys is, if you like dinosaurs, you have Jurupa Mountains Discovery Center. They have like a little museum there and they have all these giant metal dinosaurs, but not like the normal metal dinosaurs we see, like more like hokey, weird looking metal dinosaurs that have seen better days. Although there are a few that look really cool. They also have like Franklin rocks and some actual skeletons of dinosaurs, and they've painted up their bathroom with a whole bunch of dinosaurs too, which is kind of creepy. And then back to International Fiberglass, which is the company that made the Muffler Men. We may have seen a whole bunch of giant chickens throughout LA. Mm-hmm. International Fiberglass also made those giant chickens, and I think there's like probably at least 20 of them just in the LA area. And of course, they've spread out throughout the rest of the country, but they were originally pitched towards chicken restaurants in the LA area. So at one point, I think like every chicken restaurant in LA had a giant 12-foot tall chicken on their rooftop. So they're all over the place too. A new sculpture park that just opened up is out in Interstate 15 out in Yermo. So about 20 minutes past Barstow, you have Liberty Sculpture Park. It opened in 2017. It's 30 some odd acres of desert that's owned by a Chinese born sculptor named Weiming Chen. And he builds all these really awesome sculptures, and they're big, some of them, that are dedicated to freedom, condemn oppression, and specifically speaks out against Chinese communism. One of his more famous ones is the Tank Man, which is the man of a briefcase before a Tiananmen Square tank. And so it's out in the desert, and you're literally next to like, it's next to the Interstate, because you can see it from Interstate 15, and it's right next to Eddie World, where the giant ice cream sundae is. But you drive around to the back, and you come in, and you just drive down dirt roads, and you pass by all these sculptures that he's got there.
Wow, that's so cool. Those are some great ones. I'm going to have to check out some of those. Those are amazing. Now, Joe, I wanted to ask you, because you and your daughter have visited hundreds of places in California, hundreds of weird places. But is there anything on like your weird bucket list that you haven't gotten to yet that you guys are most excited about visiting?
Unfortunately, there's a lot.
Let's start with the top three.
Down there, we haven't gotten a chance to visit all those wonderful murals and extremely pretty staircases that you guys have. Like, I really want to visit Animal Alley over there in Echo Park area. I want to visit Fort MacArthur. I especially want to visit when they reenact the Battle of Los Angeles. Did you know they do that there?
No, I've been to Fort MacArthur, but I didn't realize they have events like that there.
Yeah, in February, they do a full reenactment with, like, I think, lights and fireworks and people reading up speeches and stuff like that, and actors, and they have all these dancers that come out dressed like the 40s And it looks like a USO tour. And the pictures I've seen look amazing. And apparently it happens in February sometime, I think like the weekend before President's Day. And it's all to reenact the great Battle of LA when they thought the Japanese were attacking. And now UFO conspiracy theorists, of course, said it was a UFO that the military shot at. In reality, it was probably just a lead covered balloon that one radar site was testing on the coast. It kind of drifted away from their radar site and ended up in front of another one. But they apparently do a big party with vendors and food and dancers and singers. And they have a big giant, like the lights go up and there's spotlights. And I guess there's fireworks in the air as they shoot off stuff and things like that. And apparently it looks awesome.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's definitely on my list. Outside LA, Salton Sea. I need to spend a day driving around the Salton Sea. You know, see things like Salvation Mountain, maybe stop by the new Republic of Slowjamistan that's out there. And then Northern California, we need to take an epic tour through Northern California. We had planned on one last year, but it got canceled for personal reasons. But there's a, you know, like the Trees of Mystery and all the weird, wacky big trees that are up there. Plus, there's a bunch of caverns over in the Redding area and things like that. So a whole lot of pretty interesting stuff along like Route 1 as you drive up north through Northern California there.
Yeah, those are amazing ones to check out. I can see why you have such a long list of places. I mean, there's so many. So Joe, let's get to your perfect day in California. So it doesn't have to, usually I ask people Los Angeles, but since you're from outside of Los Angeles, I wanted to ask you about your dream day in California. And since you do so much exploring, from getting up to going to bed, where would you go and what would you do to make it your dream day in California?
I mean, I think our favorite was, so we occasionally drive from San Luis Obispo up towards Monterey on Long Route 1, passing through Big Sur. And that has always been mine and my daughter's probably our best trip, right? It's just the views are amazing. The stops are amazing. The things that you can see there are amazing. The hikes are amazing. And there's a bunch of weirdness there as well. There's ghost stories and other weird attractions, weird shipwrecks and things like that as well along the route. But yeah, just Big Sur on that area from San Luis Obispo on up to Monterey. I mean, you pass by wild zebras. I mean, when you get up there by Hearst Castle, there are literally a herd of 130 or so zebras off to the right of the highway.
Wow, that so
just
cool.
Hang out. No one takes care of them. When you get north of Big Sur, there's Callalillie Valley. If you go in like March, April timeframe, there's this little like valley, this little crevice that's in like, that's, it heads out towards the beach in between two sides. It's like the stream carved out this little valley. And there's these gigantic Callalillie plants there, and they're taller than me. And as you walk through it, if you get further back away from all the tourists, it feels like you're in Jurassic Park. And there's these giant white flowers on all the plants. It's just amazing. Another spot's like Partington Cove, where you literally walk through an old wooden tunnel from the 1880s that this guy used to transport wood through to get to like the cove there so he could load up his ships and send wood out, you know, up to San Francisco. So there's all this interesting, really awesome stuff that's just along Big Sur. Not to mention the views are just the best views I've seen anywhere.
Yeah, it's just stunning over there. Well, it's no surprise that your perfect day is out exploring with your daughter all the beauty of California and all the weird stuff. Joe, thank you so much for sharing all your tips with us about Weird California. Where's the best place for people to go who want to find out more about you and Weird California?
So we have a website, weirdca.com. You can also reach it at weirdcalifornia.com. We do have a Nevada offshoot, weirdnv.com, that doesn't have that much there, but it's, you know, it's growing slowly. I have an Instagram account. I have a Facebook account. We have a neglected YouTube account. So those are probably the best places to go. You can also just email me. Like the website has hundreds of places to stop off and see. And I probably have another 100 that I need to put on the site. And then I probably have like another 1,000 spots that I just never gotten around to getting to. Right. So if people ask, I can tell them like, hey, I don't know if this is any good, but it's a spot that you might want to check out. Right.
All right, cool. You heard the man. If you love weird and you love California, you definitely want to check out Weird California. Thanks so much for coming on, Joe, and sharing all your tips.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, my friends, welcome back. That was a very fun conversation with Joe from Weird California. If you want to follow Joe and his daughter on all their weird adventures in the Golden State, you can find them on his website, weirdca.com, or on their Instagram, which is also called weirdca. Okay, on to my special hacks for you on this episode, and of course, they're going to be weird. Now, I'm not going to recommend spooky or haunted places like graveyards or maybe the Cecil Hotel. I'm going to actually list some places that you probably have heard of and you might have even visited. So they're a bit mainstream, but they're undoubtedly kooky. They are definitely strange. And yes, they are 100% weird. Okay, the first weird place on my list is one I had a chance to finally go to for the first time a few months ago. It's called the Time Travel Mart, and it's in Echo Park. And yes, just like it sounds, it's a mart slash convenience store for time travelers. So if you're into time travel, you're a time traveler yourself, and you want to know where to pick up some dinosaur eggs, maybe try on a conquistador helmet, or find an evil robot memory eraser, this is the place for you. Another cool thing about the Time Travel Mart is it's actually a nonprofit organization that tutors kids in creative writing. So first weird place on our list is the Time Travel Mart in Echo Park. All right, here is another place that I personally find to be kind of weird. It's super well known. You've probably been there. It's the La Brea Tar Pits in the Miracle Mile area. Now, this is a very popular park, walking area, and museum. But just because it's very well known and a lot of you have been there doesn't mean it's not weird. I mean, think about it. You have these actual tar pits in a fossil site right in the middle of one of the busiest and most commercial parts of Los Angeles in the Miracle Mile. In fact, the tar pits themselves describe it as the only excavated ice age fossil site found in an urban location in our country. And right by the museum, you have the Lake Pit, which might be the weirdest thing there. It was a mining pit from the late 1800s, and it's a mix of rain and groundwater that created a tar lake. And there's an art installation of a baby mammoth trapped in the tar, screaming out helplessly for his family to help him. And you know, part of the installation is the family looking on. It's a great place to go, and we love to visit. But man, when you really stop and think about it, it's definitely unique and it's definitely weird. So second on our list is the La Brea Tar Pits in the Miracle Mile. All right, and last for a weird place that you can find in Los Angeles, it's the Magic Castle. Now, Magic Castle is one of the most sought after dinner destinations in Los Angeles. It's literally a castle in Hollywood, and it's also a members only club that is technically open just to those who are part of the Academy of Magical Arts. In other words, they are magicians, and it's open to them and their guests or people that they personally invite. Now, I've been to the Magic Castle twice, but not in a really long time, so I'll just talk about a few of the weird things I remember. For one thing, you're in a castle in Hollywood, and there's magic everywhere, so that's weird. Weird in a cool way, but weird. As you walk through the castle, even the bartenders do a bit of magic. And when you go through the mansion, there's just, you know, there's some restricted areas that hold secrets that we as the public will never know, including a private library and a classroom for the magicians only. And, you know, another weird thing I remember is there's actually a Houdini seance room. Yes, there's real seances trying to raise Houdini's ghost in the mansion. And we are just scratching the surface on all the wonderful, weird things that happen at the Magic Castle. If you're ever lucky enough to go, I don't want to ruin any more surprises for you, but it's definitely one of the most awesome but weird experiences we have available to us right here in Los Angeles. Okay, guys, so I hope you enjoyed this weird episode of the Life Hacks LA podcast, and we will talk to you again soon. Stay wonderful, stay weird, and I'll talk to you again later. Take care.